It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9 says this, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit in our studies. And this section of Scripture talks about that. But notice it says the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. There's nothing bad about the fruit of the Spirit. It's all good. There's nothing wrong with it. How can you say that anything would be wrong since the Holy Spirit is God? And notice it goes on to say the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. God is all righteous. There's nothing bad about God. And it says righteousness and truth. Well, we know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. And today we want to continue our study about the fruit of the Spirit. Please join with me now as we listen to the fruit of the Spirit, lesson number 4. And if you've been listening recently to the program, you know that we've been studying through the fruit of the Spirit, or about the fruit of the Spirit. And last time we discussed several things about the fruit. And remember, I said this, that the fruit of the Spirit is the outward and visible evidence of that inner life and power and person that lives within, and namely, God the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says that. Well, notice, if you would, the singular fruit that is singular. It's not fruits, it's fruit of the Spirit. And the singular fruit here speaks of unity. And even though the 9 virtues are listed that I just mentioned, there's really but one unified cluster. If you would, it's like a cluster of grapes. When we ask ourselves, who produced this fruit? Where did the cluster come from? In Galatians 5:22, once again, it says it is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit of God. It is the fruit which He produces in the believer. You know, He's that mighty power working within us, producing fruit that glorifies the Father. Everything that you and I do as Christians, and I might say that even if you're not saved, you need to realize this, that you're to bring glory to God. And if you haven't been saved, you really can't do that. But as a Christian, we're to bring glory to God, and what a privilege it is to be able to glorify the Father. Well, the fruit, it doesn't say that this is the fruit of the Christian. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that we can produce ourselves. And we're going to look into that a little further later on. It comes from God, not of us. Well, what do we do to produce on our own in the flesh? What do we produce in the flesh? Well, the answer is found in Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 through 21. And it says there, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, that's the works of the flesh. When we try to do things in the flesh, it does not bring honor and glory to God. We need to do the things of the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. And once again, I can't stress enough that we need to be in the Scriptures. The Scriptures lead us and guide us by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." We were lost on our way to a devil's hell, but Jesus Christ saved us. He looked down and he saw me, and he knew that I needed to go to heaven. I wanted to go to heaven. I just wasn't sure how to do it. And I realized after the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that the only way to heaven was through Jesus Christ. And I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I trusted him in order to go to heaven. Now, there's certain things that we need to understand about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, once again, cannot be forced. If we try to do it in the flesh, it's no use. It just doesn't work. And so many people that I have encountered throughout my lifetime, since I've been saved, and since I've been dealing with individuals and trying to help them find Jesus as Savior, and actually he finds us, and we just need to realize that, we need to acknowledge that, and let him work in our lives and our hearts and bring us to that place in our life where we know we need him as Savior. And I pray for you that if you haven't done that, you'll let him come into your heart, that you'll let him save you. You'll let him come in. You'll ask him to save you. It's a free gift. But as we go through this life, we want to please God, and we can't do this in the flesh. It has to be something that's produced by the Spirit. And let me say this, that the produced fruit of the Spirit is natural. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, in the first part of that verse is, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now, the Holy Spirit not only produces salvation, he produces his fruit in the saved person. And we've read this now in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 about what the fruit is. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." And then we read in Genesis 1:22, and it says, "God blessed them." And it's talking about the man and woman, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." Now, he's talking to everything here. He's talking, not only has he mentioned this and talked to the man and woman about this, but he talked to everything in the earth, that everything was to be fruitful and multiply. And that's the way it is with us as Christians. We're to be fruitful and we're to multiply. We're to help other people find Jesus Christ and let him come into their life and into their heart. Genesis 1:26 through 28 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Only born again persons can have the fruit of the Spirit. Now we can, you know, as human beings, we multiply. We bring others into this world as human beings, as little babies. And that's what God wants us to do as Christians. He wants us to bring people into the world, help him. You say, you mean we can help God? Yes, we can. We're supposed to help God. We're to help him because he's chosen us to bring forth people into this world, or into his world. We're to let them know that they too can be saved. We can be fruitful and multiply as Christians. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Well, you might say, wait a minute. I have an unsaved neighbor who is very loving. Now, remember, now we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, just love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. But you might be saying, I have an unsaved neighbor who is very loving and kind and considerate of others. I also have an unsaved relative who is very joyous and who seems to fit the description of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. In fact, that person, the people that I know who are unsaved, in particular, one person I'm thinking of, you might be saying, is better than some Christians that I know. Well, I can tell you this, all this may be true, but the fact remains that only the Spirit can produce the fruit of the Spirit. Only the Spirit of God can produce genuine love. Anything else is a cheap human counterfeit. Only the Spirit can produce joy. And anything else is a counterfeit joy produced by man. And we need to make a difference between that which is the real thing produced by God and that which is only a counterfeit produced by man and produced by the flesh. Well, as we think of this, I look and I see that the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, that's as plain as it can be. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about, once again, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is presented as ripe, mature fruit. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." And remember, once again, I encourage you almost every time that we're together that you need to get into the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 through 14 says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." That means it's like a baby needs milk. Verse 13 says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And I've made mention before, we not only need to help others come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as Savior, but we need to help those Christians who have not matured in the Lord. We need to study the Word of God so that we can help other people come along and exercise them and let them know that they too can grow in the Spirit, grow in the things of God, get them into the Word of God. And it'll be soon that they won't need to go back and think of the things that is not needful, the milk, the things that a baby would use. In other words, like a baby, and they need to grow. They're just like a newborn babe, these baby Christians. Now, this baby Christian may be very old. That baby Christian may have been saved for some time, but maybe they just haven't grown in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, once again, the Bible says, "Ye which are spiritual." We are to lead and guide these people through the Word of God. Help them. Pray for them. Let them know that they have a brother or sister in Christ who's willing to help them to grow in Jesus Christ. Well, do you know Him today as your Savior? If you don't, why not ask Him to come into your heart right now? Pray and ask Him to save you. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's you if you've never trusted Him. If you are a Christian, you need to grow in His grace and knowledge and let the Spirit of the fruit come through. Don't try to force it. Let the Spirit of God work in and through you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time, and I pray for that person who's unsaved today. Save that person, Lord. Deal with the heart, and may they call upon You and receive Jesus as Savior. For that Christian, may that Christian, Lord, grow in Your grace and knowledge and lead others to You and help people know that You save. For Christ's sake, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.